Welcome one and all to another great edition of Talking Tigs. I am Scott Girard, and joining me as always will be Tommy Johnson and Daniel Zollinger. Got a great one to go over. LSU has just moved on in baseball. They claimed the regional title. Now they move on to the super regionals. Well, they're not moving anywhere. We're going to be hosting West Virginia here. We got that to talk about. All the games individually, because it wasn't quite a slam dunk, although it looks like it was going to start out that way. But we have all of that. I know some it was the SEC media days this weekend also down in Destin, which kind of flew under the radar with all the baseball going on. But I don't know if there's any news from that. Maybe we could share it with you this week, but we might have a full episode later on where we talk about all the changes in football, because I don't know, there's really just a lot of baseball to cover right now. But before we get into any of it, did want to check in with you guys, see how things are going. Hopefully you had some a good weekend. I don't know, I would say nice long weekend, but it's really just the Tigers, because we had to play on Monday night, late at that, late Sunday and Monday night, which I don't know. I think, Tommy, they need to put something through the Louisiana legislature. I know we've banned kickoffs before a certain time. Maybe we can ban baseball games to not start past a certain time, unless, you know, of course, it's our usual rain delay issues. But anyway, I don't know. I don't know who you can talk to about that, but good to be back with you. And yeah, want to see how you guys are doing before we talk shop.
Oh, hey, good to be with you. Good to be talking about an LSU win in the regional, even though it was kind of maybe a little bit more difficult than we thought it might be. But excited about the moving forward, and excited to be talking about it with you.
Yeah, certainly with LSU moving past the end point of last year's season, they finished in the Chapel Hill regional. They actually would have played West Virginia in the super regional last year if we had won that one. But now we get a crack at them this year in the super regional, which is really exciting. I was in Austin this weekend for a wedding, so I was this close to the University of Texas regional. Saw their baseball field and the football stadium. Had to throw horns down in there for good measure. Thankfully, it was a summer break, so there was like nobody on campus. But check that out. And then, yeah, got to watch LSU deep into the night, both Sunday and Monday, although I did turn it off before the very end. Being on East Coast time, it was too late for me. But yeah, happy that LSU won. There were plenty of highs and lows in between, and excited to break all that down with y'all today.
Daniel, I could just imagine you on that campus, because I saw the picture you had outside the stadium where you were just looking over both of your shoulders and then throwing
down. Exactly. No Cowboys tried to fight me, thankfully.
Right, because they're all gone. School's out. But anyway, yeah, it was a great weekend to be on LSU's campus, because baseball was going all weekend long. Started Friday with the Tigers. I mean, we did have a little bit of a weather delay, although if you were there at the box, I mean, there wasn't really any rain. I think it was just more of a overcautious thing because of lightning. You know, if it's within 8 miles or something like that, then they have to wait. But anyway, and I mean, if you were a student still at LSU, Jay Johnson was buying. He was buying tickets for all the students to come to the games. Wanted them to pack it out, make it, you know, the box, basically. And LSU did deliver once they finally got going. We blanked Little Rock, not Arkansas, but just Little Rock, 7-0 for our first game. Continued on to the second game against Dallas Baptist, which is who we thought we were going to face in the winner's bracket. Handled them even better, actually, 12-0. Then we had to face Little Rock again, because they made it out of the loser's bracket, winning and beating Dallas Baptist pretty handily. And then they beat us, and we just weren't really expecting it. And then that pushed us to a game yesterday. Obviously, that's why we're recording a little bit later than usual. Man, not sure what to expect. And then you think, all right, well, the Tigers will bounce back. But not quite at first. I mean, we got on the board early, but then they jumped out to a bigger lead in the bottom of the second inning. And it kind of seemed like we were on shaky ground there. But the Tiger bats eventually woke up, But I think game three, or excuse me, that third game against Little Rock, you got to give so much credit to Case and Evans just kind of stepping in. It's obviously we were going to be Johnny Holdstaff that from there on out. But I don't know. I think we probably thought Cowan would have lasted a little bit longer than he did. But I don't know, man. Little Rock was hot. Their bats were hot. They had won so many games in a row. They hit 22 runs after we beat them and blanked them, and they were just on fire this weekend. Luckily, Evans brought his stuff, had like, what, 8 or 9 strikeouts in a row, which, I mean, none of our other starters have done that. So it's just crazy. Everybody that needed to step up, stepped up, including Jared Jones last night with his home run to kind of give us a little bit of breathing room heading into the eighth. So I don't know, Tommy, I'd love to hear what you thought. I know you weren't able to go to the game, but man, it was action packed. A little bit too close for comfort there on those last two games for LSU, but the Tigers were victorious and we march on. But man, couldn't ask for a better box or a better weekend at the box overall, right?
I mean, as if you're just watching for exciting baseball, I mean, both the product at the box and then just across the all of the regionals was just incredible as far as, you know, upsets and good baseball and kind of scrappy teams making their name. And I think first of all, you got to give a lot of credit to Little Rock being, you know, a fourth seed team and being able to really hang with the best and give LSU a strong run for their money. I mean, up until, was it the fifth inning last night, LSU was trailing. So, I mean, it was a real rough go. I mean, they had some really stellar performances from their first baseman, Cano, and then that center fielder, was it Henry? I think that's his name.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're really playing out of their mind and playing with, I think it was Ben McDonald who said they're playing with house money. So credit to them. I think that LSU, the main takeaway I had from, I guess, the first two games, great performance for LSU, pitching, Case and Evans, I mean, not Case and Evans, Kate Anderson and Anthony Ianson both looked great, took care of business. We're going to be okay. I think we can play with anybody in this country with those two guys on the ball. And we've known that for a while now. The main, you know, our main problem spot is that, like you said, Scott, when we get to that day three, it really does turn into our entire, you know, staff, our whole Johnny Holdstaff pitching for us. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. We had a really hard time with it on Sunday. Had a little bit of a better time. I like the Cowan and Evans kind of double play that we sometimes go for. That seems to be our best option when Ianson and Anderson are not available. But either way, you know, I think that we showed a lot of weakness there. It's really tough to watch when we just kind of churn through pitchers and, you know, it's like, you can't even seem to throw a strike. Big Chase Shore struggled. I think Newt struggled. DJ Primo struggled. What's that?
Myers. Well, the one game we lost, I think we had what, 11 walks
and
I
11 think walks. Yeah.
Seven of them scored or eight scored. So they beat us by the walks we gave them alone.
Yes. But you know, now the one thing, I don't know, this is not really, I'm not trying to make this like an excuse for LSU, but I do feel like, and I'll be interested to see if y'all notice this. I feel like Jay Johnson, the way he manages games, when he kind of gets the feeling that we're going to lose, he just lets it go. It doesn't matter if you lose by 2 runs or 12 runs, we're just going to lose. So let's just lose bad. And that's how it felt like for me on that Sunday game, where it was just kind of like, all right, we're losing this one, chalk it up. Whatever happens, happens. We're playing for Monday now, which is why I don't, you know, you didn't see Cason Evans, you didn't see Zach Cowan at all in that Sunday game. I think that's it makes us look bad. A lot of people were blowing up saying that was most embarrassing LSU performance, maybe ever. But you know, they took care of business. They got the win where it counted. Now still was a little bit of a struggle last night. Even Little Rock still played well and still had our number for about half the game. But overall, I think the better team came out on top, and now we got to look forward to West Virginia coming to the box.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you said. We had talked about it last week on the podcast that we thought this regional set up pretty favorably for LSU in terms of both strength of opponents and just general matchups. And so that first game against Little Rock, we thought that Jay Johnson was going to throw our number one starter, Cade Anderson, but he actually went with Anthony Hines in the righty. And that, I mean, worked like a charm. He went 7 2/3, throwing 100 pitches, striking out 7, scoreless on the game. And we did just enough with the bats. I mean, 7 runs is good enough there. And we rattled that one off, and we're on to the winner's bracket. So that's exactly where you want to be to start off the regional. And if we get something like that going against West Virginia, then definitely we'll be in a great position. And then we followed that up against Dallas Baptist, who most people had circled as the kind of A1 opponent in this regional, given that they had a number of good pitchers, including the guy that they did throw against LSU, Micah Bucknum, who was a former LSU Tiger. We touched him up early and often, and then it was kind of off to the races against the Patriots, with Cade Anderson doing his thing as per usual, mowing him down. He went over 100 pitches as well, deep into the 7th, and that was just a job well done by all, including multiple home runs, Chris Stanfield tallying up quite a few RBIs in that one, and Ethan Fry getting the inside the park home run, basically. I think they ruled it a triple with a fielding error, but he motored all the way around the bases. That one was fun to see. And then, yeah, so we were 2-0 and had two cracks against whoever was coming from the loser's bracket to take it home. And everybody was feeling super confident, I think, especially when you saw Little Rock, who we had already beaten 7-0, win that one. So you're like, all right, we got this one kind of in the bag a little bit. And then LSU does what they do best and puts on a dramatic show. I said it out loud. It didn't sound like it was his real name, but yeah, Newt, getting the start on Sunday and, immediately looked shaky, throwing walks. And then Shores came in, who had done well in the last couple of weeks, and he had command issues as well. And like Tommy mentioned, that one seemed kind of in the dumpster early. And yeah, you got to give credit to Little Rock for playing with some moxie and for everything they really had going for them at this point in the season. So that one was not so good. And then they saved, that 1-2 punch between Cowan and Evans for the last game. And it did not go so well at the beginning. Zach Cowan, who had been one of, if not our best reliever all season, he had some troubles. The second inning was one of the worst innings I've seen from LSU in a long time. There was like 2 walks, a hit batter, 2 errors in the field, Dickinson tossing it to Milam at second, sailing over his head. And then I think Jared Jones letting one in between the wickets, going to right field. So they put up 4 runs just on like 1 hit with like everything else combined. It was like, oh my goodness, we've just lost this regional, and everybody might as well file towards the exits. But thankfully they plugged in Cason Evans, who went like superhuman mode on the mound with all the strikeouts, including 9 in a row. So really saved the season there. And then the flip side of that was Ethan Fry going crazy at the bat position. When we finally needed some offense, we got the bases loaded, I think the 4th inning, and he cleaned them up with that big double. And then I think he had like 4 for 4 night. He had a home run as well, and then a couple more clutch singles. So the Fries were being served, courtesy of Ethan, the pride of Rose Pine, as they like to say on the broadcast. And that was all we needed. Jared Jones, put the cherry on top, busting out of his slump with a nice 2-run home run late in the game. And we're happily moving on, but definitely not lacking for drama in the meantime. So it's a very LSU brand of baseball, and excited to see what this weekend brings to the box.
Absolutely. I don't know that Jay Johnson's going to pull out his wallet again. I think the box will pack itself this weekend. But and speaking of Jay, you could tell he was not happy with it. He's like, I need to go talk to these guys, because after those errors, he was doing a pitch and change, and he came out, he got everybody in there. He's like, you could tell he's like, would everybody just calm the F down?
Yeah.
You guys are making mistakes you don't usually, I mean, because we hadn't really seen Arizona.
It's been one of the best defensive teams in the country. And you know, that was, yeah, it was an uncharacteristic error for Dickinson.
Yeah. And the ship was righted, shall we say. And after that, it was and you could tell, I think if we had a lead, well, I mean, we briefly had a lead in that game, but if we had any bigger lead, maybe we would have seen Evans or Cowan come in just to close it out so we don't have to play yesterday. But it didn't work out, and I think that's why, is because Jay is not going to burn one of his best pitchers on a maybe. I think that's why he did what he did in the SEC tournament. And he said that in a press conference. He brought in Ianson on that first win just to have experience closing out a game in case he did need him down the road. And of course, that's what he did last night. I mean, we would have seen that with Paul Skeens in the College World Series, but it wasn't needed. We were up by over a dozen runs. So thanks, but no thanks. I guess, you know, it remains to be seen what our rotation's going to look like, because Anderson did pitch second this weekend, but Ianson pitched last. And the way they have us scheduled already, we got to talk about these times too. It's like the last night was 9 p.m. Meanwhile, the West Coast game was at like 4 or 5 or something. It's just, and now we're on the, you know, they stagger the game so that they can televise them. But I don't know. It's just 9 p.m. start times, and now we're going to have a later start time. But then the next day it's in the afternoon or something like that. So I feel like we could probably spend a quarter of the pod talking about these times and how they decide all this. But LSU will be taking on West Virginia. Our first game will be Saturday. I'm wondering if we would see, you know, kind of back to our normal rotation of Anderson, since he will have more rest. But honestly, I think Ianson would be good to go either way. You know,
I feel like we go back. I think we go back. I think we start with Kate Anderson on a Saturday game, and then move to Ianson and kind of get back to the normal routine. That's just my thinking on
it. Yeah, that would make sense. And the way it's set up last weekend and this weekend, Anderson's going to be on his normal 7 days of rest. So he's on schedule. And I mean, they're kind of 1A and 1B at this point, but you rely on Anderson as your ace of aces to get you that first game and put you in the driver's seat to win the regional. So I expect that to be the case. And then you're definitely comfortable with Ianson game two. And then with everything you showed in yesterday's game, if it went to a game three on the Monday, don't be surprised at all to see Cason Evans get that start, as he went 6 scoreless innings with all the strikeouts there. And he seemed like definitely your most reliable pitcher elsewhere. So I think if he can pitch anywhere near the way he did yesterday, then all 3 games, LSU will definitely have a good chance. I can't say that I've watched any West Virginia baseball this year, but I was looking at their stat sheet, and they really only have 2 guys who have a fair amount of starts. So they, I think, are even in a worse position than us in terms of the pitching, where they kind of have 2 kind of go-to guys, and then it's just everybody else for them. So especially if it goes to game 3, then hopefully LSU will have a little bit of an advantage in that department, as well as on the batting side. They're one of those teams that hits for average a lot. They only have 55 home runs on the year compared to LSU, which is quite a bit more. I don't have the number in front of me.
We're in the 90s. I think
yeah,
we're like
but, 95. Yeah, I think I saw they were, West Virginia's like 140th in the country in home runs or something. So definitely not a power team. And at a big stadium like the Box, I wouldn't be surprised if they don't really put many long balls out there at all. So we'll be comfortable at home, and the Box will be rocking. So I do like our chances, even though they did win a tough regional with Clemson, who's a good team, and Kentucky, an SEC opponent. So they swept through there 3-0. So definitely not an easy out. But I think overall, LSU does have the talent and maybe the intangibles advantage as well.
Yeah,
no, I agree. I feel like LSU's going to, I mean, I think they should take care of business. I'm hoping that this series against Little Rock is a big wake up call of you know what needs to happen and the kind of intensity that LSU needs to bring to take care of business. But I mean, looking at West Virginia, they're 28th ranked in RPI. That's DBU is ranked better than them. And Southern Miss is ranked better than them. Oklahoma, the team that we played in, is ranked better than them. So I feel like we're definitely we've definitely got a better track record. We definitely have probably more talented. And we have that home field advantage, like you said, Daniel. It does kind of scare me though. These small ball teams, we struggle with them sometimes. Like,
yeah, teams like Rock State plays like that, and we've had trouble with them before.
I mean, that was Little Rock's game, mm-hmm. in a way. Now, I mean, Canode obviously went off and had a few long balls, but they were trying to do all kinds of different things with bunts and running and stealing bases and doing all kinds of stuff. So, well, I think we're gonna have to lock in.
Yeah, and speaking of home runs, a quick shout out to Luis Hernandez, who hit two home runs in the last game. Yeah, he caught all four games this past weekend. That's a grueling schedule in the hot atmosphere at the box. So definitely he put it all on the line as a senior. So appreciate the leadership, and maybe he can rest that up over this week, and we'll see more from him coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, you know, he had a nice bath or something after this weekend. And it you said it, Daniel, leadership, man. You could see the guy just visually expressing to, I don't know if it was Evans, but it was just, like, calm down. We got it. He was that one play where they bunted, but then we threw to third and got the out to get the lead runner. He was, you could hear him going, third, third, third. So he was definitely leading. Like, I mean, the catcher sees all. He's the only guy on the field that can see everything, really. So that was a great get for us in the portal. But, again, a huge shout-out to Casey Evans. 12 Ks, unbelievable. We were not expecting that. I would say moving forward, man, I know we've used him to start before, but I kind of like it if we just start whoever we need to see if they can give us a few innings. Then bring in Evans, because that's what helped us yesterday. And then, of course, our bats finally woke up. It didn't seem like we were doing as much small ball, although that's still part of our game plan, because I think the last 2 years we were up in the 120s as far as the home runs go. But this year, yeah, we're way down. We don't have quite the same power. So that's why Jay is pulling off double steals and bunting way more than we used to.
A lot of like squeeze plays. Mm-hmm. I forget which game. I think it was on Saturday night we had a squeeze play that was successful. But that's been a go-to for Jay Johnson this year. Very interesting.
Yeah, well, he's got a lot of runs to make up if you're short 30 dingers than you were the year before. We're facing West Virginia, but we are actually only one of four SEC teams remaining. Three only have the chance to move on, since Arkansas and Tennessee are actually playing each other for the rights to play in Omaha. Just a quick rundown, man. It was a crazy weekend altogether. All these one seeds, including a lot from the LSU, didn't make it out. Georgia didn't. Duke is now hosting a super regional when they were just the number two seed. Ole Miss, they gave it their all. They almost came back, but Murray State, the four seed, took the Oxford regional. Texas, number one team for a majority of the season. Everyone's like, where'd Texas come from? Oh, I guess they're the number two seed in the tournament. Gone. Who was the one seed? Vanderbilt. Gone. And I was actually happy. Vanderbilt almost lost that first game. They had a home run. I don't know. You could say it was gifted, but it was questionable. Wright State almost pulled that one off, but they're gone. Southern Miss is gone. Oregon, number one seed, didn't make it out. I think Coastal Carolina going to Auburn, because Auburn's still quietly in it. They won their regional no problem. I don't even think they were even on the edge for anything. So they're taking care of business. They're going to have Coastal Carolina come to town. I think that'll be a really good matchup, actually. As I said, Arkansas and Tennessee, we are taking on West Virginia, who, we thought it might have been Clemson. But a lot of upsets, a lot of good baseball, and a lot more remains to be seen. I don't know if you guys checked out any odds, but all of a sudden I think LSU is like one of the, like a favorite to win now. I think we're minus minus 600 or something, but then like somebody like Murray State's like plus 3000. So, you know, spend it wisely if you're going to do it, but I don't know. I still don't know if any of these teams are going to carry on. Like, what if Murray State or UT San Antonio makes it actually to Omaha? That'd be crazy. I would actually love to see it, but I think it does play better for the – well, at least for LSU, that the less SEC teams, the better, because that's really been our stiffest competition, other than Little Rock, obviously. But, still a lot more baseball, and who knows how much more crazier it could get. I don't know if you guys had a chance to see any of the other games, but very heated, a lot of emotional. It's like there was these rivalries. I don't know what was going on with Coastal Carolina, Florida, their coach.
Yeah.
It made an A of himself. You saw the coach of Wake Forest mouthing some bad words about Tennessee players. It's just all over the place.
Yeah, Kevin O'Sullivan had to put out a public apology.
Wow.
And I think the AD also did. So that was kind of wild. Because
his game was moved 1 hour. really. And then there was a guy from Duke hit a home run, wore his whatever you call it, that swag. You know, Tennessee wears the mink coat. Duke has a hard hat because they're, blue collar guys. The next play, somebody hit a single, somebody scored. He came out of the dugout for like two steps to shake a hand. They kicked him out of the game for wearing that swag. Mm. Like, he probably forgot he had it on because he was caught up in the moment, but they kicked him out. It's just crazy. I don't know what was going on in Tallahassee too. The coaches got kicked out. There's just a lot of heat, a lot of tension. Yeah. And it's like, it's baseball. I get it, but it's, you'd think that would have been, like what's coming up this weekend with Arkansas and Tennessee and that bad blood. But no, these are teams that probably haven't even faced each other in decades.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Like you said, the main story was kind of the SEC carnage with a lot of those highly ranked teams going home, much to the glee, I would say, of a lot of people online who had been saying the SEC is overrated and didn't deserve to have 13 teams or whatever make the tournament. And so this is the obvious thing that you point to say, see, LSU or Texas, Vanderbilt, they're not that good. They got bounced by Wright State and Little Rock and Murray State and Ole Miss's case. And I guess they're right. The SEC did have a rough time. We're guaranteed one SEC team in the World Series because Arkansas and Tennessee play each other. I'm kind of thankful LSU is not in that little section. Although if we do make the World Series, that's who we play. The very first game is the winner of that Arkansas-Tennessee game. So maybe a little bit scary there. And then one of the big stories.
Two teams we both play.
Yeah, exactly.
We won the series in both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there was one play. I don't know if it was a big story at the beginning, but I don't know if y'all remember. Is Oregon versus, I think, Utah Valley at the very end when Utah Valley guy like crashed into the Oregon catcher.
Yeah, the collision at the plate.
Yeah. And then they ruled him out for malicious contact or malicious something. It was like they were diving deep into the rule book on that one. And then nobody really knew what was going on. There was all sorts of appeals and the NCAA was putting out kind of rules clarifications. But ultimately ruled in Utah Valley's favor, but yeah, all sorts of stuff like that was just happening across the gamut of games. So I did watch a little bit of the ESPN squeeze play where they show like four games at the same time. And it's fun for about 5 minutes and it's almost kind of overwhelming, like so much to watch. But definitely a good time. And I think the super regionals are staggered a little bit more. So they can kind of go one at a time. So this weekend will definitely be full of hard fought games as well. And maybe a little more appetizing, but yeah, if we see a Cinderella story like Murray State make it to the World Series, I think that would be cool. Thankfully LSU didn't let the Cinderella go through in Little Rock. So we got our own story as the favorite. So everybody's coming for us, come with the king. We'll see if they miss or not.
Yeah, and a shout out to Jim Schlossnagel for ending two, not one, but two Texas baseball programs within the same year, preventing them from winning anything at all. So shout out to him. Yeah, I mean, maybe UTSA, University of Texas San Antonio, their system school, maybe they're, you know, maybe they got the goods. I don't know. But Texas, man, whoo, what happened? I don't know. I would love an explanation. But the way you put it, Daniel, yeah, at least one is going to make it just by default. But all these naysayers, oh, the SEC, it's overrated. Well, we could still have 3 out of 8 in the College World Series. And I bet those same people will still be saying, oh, see, look at this SEC bias. So it's just – they're just – saying whatever works for them in the moment. But we all know, you can just look at the past few national championships and know who's really good at baseball and who's decent. I would say SEC is still very good at baseball. One, even if it was a down year, even if, outside of Arkansas and Tennessee, if the rest of us lose and we don't win it, it's still just this one year. You think the SEC is going to just drop off next year? And we're not going to have 4 in the College World Series. Come on. Especially with, all the coaching changes and player, the portal action that's bound to happen. I mean, LSU did have a couple guys enter the portal yesterday, like before their game. I don't know that these were guys that really got really much playing time, if any at all. It was both infielders, David Hogg and Ryan Costello. I know Hogg got some playing time, but not enough, I guess, to keep him happy or keep him here. But I guess what I would say to that is, look at Ethan Frye. Guy waited his turn, fought back from an injury. I mean, he maybe would have had this type of season last year without that injury, but stuck it out, got better, and guy's on a tear, all regional team. Although LSU did have someone coming in from the portal already, Braden Simpson, player from High Point University. I actually had a couple friends from college go there after we finished our two-year school. So guy's a big hitter. Hits .389, 22 home runs, 77 RBIs this year. So we already got someone out of the portal that's going to kind of replace, because, you have to expect that Jared Jones is going to be gone after this season. I know we still have some other guys, but it's good.
I kind of expect to have a whole new infield.
What's that?
Kind of expect to have a whole new infield, I would think.
Yeah. It remains to be seen. I mean, the interesting thing now is, I think we said it last week, it's our infield is just solid defensively, because all three, other than, our first baseman, Jared Jones, all three of the others have all played shortstop. So it's basically three shortstops and a 6'4" first baseman. LSU's been pretty good defensively. Go figure. That's what I saw as far as the baseball. I don't know. Any other thoughts? Because, man, I'm just excited to see what the super regionals are going to look like.
I would just have one thought. With Auburn, hosting their super regional, I feel like that it makes this that Auburn sweep that we took look better than it did at the time. I mean, at the time we were thinking, man, this is not good. LSU just got swept on the road against an Auburn team that at the time was not the top of the SEC. Maybe we just caught them at the right time, caught them kind of on their beginning of their upswing. But it's kind of, I've noticed that watching all the games this past weekend.
Yep. And then, just a note for the listeners, so they're aware that the schedule that they put out today for the Super Regional will be starting on Saturday, not Friday. So Saturday, 1 p.m. Central, 2 p.m. Eastern, and then Sunday, 5 o'clock Central. So kind of an evening game there, thankfully not so late. And then Monday, if they need to go to it, is still TBD at this point. So hopefully LSU cleans it up on the weekend, and then we can roll into the week and get that extra day off looking into Omaha.
Oh, I can already tell you, they're going to give us the late game. People can say they're trying to screw us, but I don't know. Maybe they're looking like, well, LSU plays better at night. Maybe we'll give them the night game. It probably had something to do with the fact that we had the night game before, and they just wanted to give us enough time. So, let's just give them the 9 p.m. game again. I don't think that's going to happen next week, like you said. Even if we did need a game three, I don't think it's going to be a 9 p.m. It'll probably be in the afternoon again. But then after that, man, all bets are off. It's on to Omaha, or, you know, Omaha or bust, basically. And I mean, there was some other stuff going on this weekend. LSU wise, I know they had a lot of highly touted recruits coming in for a big visit. I think there was like seven or so. But then there was also the SEC Media Days, which they do, well, it seems like every year now down in Destin. Brian Kelly, of course, had a segment. I mean, we can probably go into a little bit more of that later, you know, as we kind of ramp up towards football once baseball season is done. But I just thought he had one funny line. He's like, yeah, every coach here is, you know, they have the best roster they've ever had.
Yeah.
But then he pretty much said that himself. He's like, this is actually the best roster we've had since I've been here. So make it that.
What do you think about that?
If you're not spending $40 million on a roster, it's not good enough these days.
Do you think this is the best roster? For me.
Brian Kelly,
he had a roster that had a Heisman Trophy winner on it.
Yeah, and a Biletnikoff runner-up, I think.
A Biletnikoff and like a NFL like Rookie of the Year nominee.
I don't know. I mean, they say maybe Nuss could do the same. I mean, he's obviously different than Jaden Daniels. I think still different than Joe Burrow, but he's got experience. SEC football, life otherwise, I mean, he's got experience. Plus, I don't know if we have the same receiving core, but I think with the transfers in, I don't think we dropped down any level. If anything, we've added to what we already had, you know? Yes.
Yeah.
It's just putting it all together. But if BK says it, well, take it to the bank, right?
What BK says goes.
I mean, he's hyping it up because I think the general sentiment is it's kind of playoffs or bust this year for LSU, considering he's now on year four and we've been close but no cigar in each of these past 3 years. And that's kind of the expectation, especially with 14 teams. And now they're talking about the 16 team expansion coming up soon. LSU, you're wanting to be in the top 10 at least. And so you better be squeaking into that playoff and making a run at a natty. So it's kind of put up or shut up time. So he's stoking the fire. I think on paper, we have talent across the board, especially on the defensive side that didn't exist in past years. So if we live up to the talent potential, then yes, certainly maybe we can put together a run. But we will need some people to take steps forward like Jaden Daniels did, or especially like kind of on that offensive line where we had guys like Will Campbell and Emory Jones exit to the NFL. Will Campbell actually just signed his rookie deal, I think. I don't know how many millions, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see coming up at the beginning of September, which is not that far away, just 3 months now. So the excitement certainly is building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the freshmen have already moved in. They are on campus and practicing, or, you know, training, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, that should be exciting. We'll obviously give you guys a slow unroll for that one as we move towards football season. But I don't know. They also had the playoff committee meetings. The, like you said, Daniel, I think they're looking to expand it from what, 12 to 16. Although I don't know, from what he was saying, it's like, I know they're going to try and adjust how they do the seating too, because that obviously was an issue this past year, because none of the ones that had a bye did anything with it.
Yeah. And I was saying 14 teams earlier. I was misspoken. It was, yeah, like you said, 12 teams, but they were discussing going to either 14 or 16. And I think Lane Kiffin said, like, we should just take the top 16 teams straight and, like, put them in the bracket. And, like, that would be perfect. To me, that still seems a little bit much. Like, is the number 16 team going to be the number one team that often? I don't know.
You think about last year, teams like South Carolina got left out, and that's a team that you know, really came on strong at the end of the year and really should have beat us. Like, one of their only losses was to LSU in a game that really, like, we had no business winning. So I get it. I get, you know, the argument for it. I definitely understand the seating argument, because I think as of right now, like the seating precedent goes to a conference champion. And so you have like an Arizona State that wins their conference. And I mean, they don't have the firepower, yeah. The strength to get, well, the firepower to command being like the, I forget exactly what seed, were they the 4 seed or 3 seed?
Right. Yeah. And they don't have a Scataboo anymore either.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
but right. No, but it's also that it's just like giving a higher seed to someone just because they won their conference. And I think that was what Sankey's argument was, well, yeah, I mean, you can, just give it to that. Or if you pad your schedule and all you do is play your conference games, but you know, what does that tell you? If you don't really play anyone else in the meantime, which, you know, for years, you know, you could point to the SEC for that. Alabama's notorious. Everyone does it. LSU's done it too. That's why you schedule the UT Chattanoogas or the McNeese States. You know, they come in, they can make money. You can get a nice game to rev you up for SEC play, but it doesn't really advance the ball as far as like quality scheduling or quality seating in the playoff. So I don't know what that means. If it does come back to that 8 or 9 conference games and who you schedule outside of that, I'd say just get rid of it. Just do 8 or 9 conference games, and then maybe you can do a expanded playoff bracket, because that can replace the games you would have been playing. So the teams that are bad and don't make it, sorry, you don't get those same amount of games anymore. But I don't know. I think there is a better solution. Don't know if they'll find it, because there's too many heads involved. But it's all like conference commissioners now in the playoff committee anyway. I mean, it's just, I don't know. How they could have them seating on their own teams in their conference. It's just, you know, how do you eliminate bias? I don't know if you can.
Well, for the longest time, the chairman of the CFP was the Oregon AD, right?
Yeah, but Jeff Long was there too, who was the AD at Arkansas. It's they mixed it around just to make it seem, you know, like it wasn't conflicted. But yeah, how could you say for sure though? You know.
Well, I don't know. I think that it's kind of makes it, and we've talked about this before, but doesn't it kind of just make you wish back to the old days of the BCS and just let the computer decide?
With AI, right. Now, it seems like it'd be smart enough to do it.
Or a mix.
Just bot have a hybrid.
Have a hybrid.
That's true.
You could do that.
Maybe you let the committee select the top teams and then have the algorithm seed them.
Yeah.
Be a good idea.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, without the BCS, 2-loss SEC champion and national champion LSU never would have happened. I mean, we would have won the SEC. LSU would have played the national champion. If it was up to sports writers that year, you know.
Of course, also, but then on the flip side, if it wasn't for the BCS, then LSU wouldn't have played Alabama in the national championship in 2011.
Right. Exactly. So, because we should have been playing anyone else.
Played Oklahoma State. Yeah. Right. Undefeated exactly. Oklahoma State left on the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
We would have just wrecked them.
Yeah. Yeah. We'd have had number 4 or 5, whatever. Anyway, I don't know. I think that was all I had. Do you guys have anything else worth mentioning?
I think that's it for me.
Nope. Good luck in the Super Regionals. And yeah, we'll have that broken down. And hopefully our ticket will be punched to Omaha come next week.
Right. Dan, you're not going to any weddings this weekend, are you?
No, I actually have some family members who have already booked their tickets to Omaha, like for the games, and have had that for a while. So hopefully the LSU can live up to the expectations and they'll make a trip. And some other family members were on the broadcast last night, LSU versus Little Rock. They had a close up moment of them like clapping on the sidelines. I was like, I was watching. I was like, oh my goodness, I know those people. So shout out to them. But I will not be in attendance, unfortunately. I will be watching online.
Okay. I was going to say, depending on what town you go to, I might have a mission for you, but never mind. All right. Well, I guess that'll pretty much do it for us here on Talking Tigs. Tune in next week. We will definitely have the Super Regional wrap up for you, as well as all the other action. Hopefully we will be telling you that LSU is playing in Omaha, and to make your travel arrangements, I don't know that we're going to be going, but we'll see. We'll talk to our travel coordinator and see if that's still in the budget. Right, Tommy?
Yeah, okay. We'll be in touch.
Yeah. All right. Well, until then, hope everyone has a great week. Stay safe, stay tuned, and we'll talk to you next time right here on Talking Tigs.